I'm as happy as anyone can ever be.
Hey, welcome to the sixth episode of Keepin' Cozy. Thank you so much for clicking on this video. Today we have a really cool guest. His name is John McAfee. You've probably heard of him from either creating the McAfee secure systems that may be on your computer, but most likely you've probably heard of him for being an international fugitive. So we have a really cool episode ahead of us. Thank you so much for clicking on this video, and please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you again. Thank you so much for being on this program, Mr. McAfee, and thank you for your time. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping fine, and thanks for having me on. I'm pleased that you asked me.
So I guess my first question for you would be, America is going through a time period of racial unrest, and you are notably married to a woman who is African American. What are your thoughts on the Black Lives Matter movement and everything going on in America?
Well, I think that America's problems go far deeper than the racial divide. The problem about police brutality against blacks is endemic, not just to blacks but to all races. When the need or the inclination arises, I think the problem is that we live in a system of brutality, not just the police, a system that brutalizes psychologically, financially, in every way, its citizens. So obviously the enforcement arm of that system is going to be brutal. Yes, is there racial animosity between the police and blacks? Of course. I've been arrested 21 times in 11 different countries. I'm white. I can promise you that when someone with minimal education, minimal psychological training, is given authority over another human being, arrogance is just a natural flowering of that arrangement. I wish it were different. I'm afraid it is not. And then when we give the police the authority to act as they will, without so much as a single repercussion, then problems arise.
Yeah, I guess going on that specific topic of conversation, you're, I guess, a fugitive from the law. What is it like, you know, what is your mental state like because of that? And because of the targeting you feel that you've gotten?
Well, I've been a fugitive from the law, from one country or another. Listen, you know, since Janice has been with me, there are now four countries that Janice can never return to. six for me. I've been a fugitive from somebody of my entire life because I don't like corruption. I do not like people telling me as an adult what to do when I'm simply minding my own business. And anybody with that attitude is going to be a fugitive from something.
Yeah. Do you feel as though you're always on the outside looking in?
No. There's nobody more in than I am or Janice. We are on the inside. You folks are on the outside looking in.
What do you mean?
Well, let me go back to Henry David Thoreau. he was in jail for civil disobedience, and a friend, which I will not name, came and said, "What are you doing in there?" And he said, "Well, what are you doing out there?" Because if you are living according to your heart fully, well, then you're living life as it's meant to be lived. Whether you have to run or hide doesn't make any difference. You're living it. as it's meant to be lived.
Yeah.
So Janice and I are, we are on the inside, I promise you. We are living fully, completely. Those who are obeying mindless laws and regulations and being told to stay in your homes and lock the doors, you're on the outside, people.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're an artist in that sense? In the sense that you are, I guess, not conforming to these rigid stuff? That's like what George Orwell defined, you know, what in his essay Why I Write, he says that the artists and the business people and stuff like that, they all can't confine to the steady laws of a regular life. Do you think that that's something you resonate with?
Yeah, I'm not going to do what I should do, which is force you to define art and artists, because you will not be able to do so.
Sure.
But art, what is art other than expressing fully your experience of reality? That's what art is, whether you're a painter that's in turmoil, like Van Gogh, or a musician in the height of emotional pain, like Beethoven from time to time, or whether you're a mime on the streets of New York. What you're doing is expressing what you see as reality in the way that you can, and the way that you do most. Your mime art, your music art, or literature. But see, that to me is a very narrow definition of art. You have to be either a writer, a musician, a painter, a mime, or something. No, I think that everybody is an artist who lives authentically and expresses their perceptions authentically. That's what art really is.
Well, my question for you would be, is the expression, do you have to create something like software, or do you have to create an idea and make that into reality? Or could you be an artist who just does nothing, who lives authentically?
There's no one who does nothing. I mean, every person that you meet on the street with a smile or a frown is an expression of your reality.
Yeah.
Every hand that you shake, the clothes that you wear, the words that you say, this is your expression. There's no such thing as not doing. Even if you're alone in a cave meditating, you're doing. That is your expression. And anyone who wanders by and sees the stillness of your body in that darkness is moved by that. Do you understand? So there's no such thing as creating or not creating. What you need to do before you create something is to create yourself. That means to strip away all of the veils of perception that you have about who you are, because most people do not have a clue who they are. They deny their experience. They deny.
Well, how do college students, how do people who are like me, who are in their early 20s or late teens, start to get rid of those false perceptions, according to you?
Drop your fear. Because if you think about it, most people live in fear. Certainly most college students do. You have a fear of failure. You have a fear of not belonging. You have a fear of the future, what will happen. Even with your hopes, there is the fear of not achieving those hopes and dreams. So you have to not be afraid of life. And that's the most difficult thing to do. But being afraid does not help you.
Yeah.
When you do get out into life and you get a job and you commute to work every fucking day, you get to work at 9, you spend 8 hours in a windowless, airless office and commute back home, and you do this every fucking day for 40 years and you don't love it. Why do you do it? Because you're afraid of what might happen if you quit.
Yeah.
So no. So here's the simple formula. Since your young children and have not been told properly, perhaps by the society around you, how to live, first and foremost, do only what you love, not what your head tells you to do. If your mind says you want to get a physics degree because you want to be a physicist, or you want to get a finance degree because you want to be an accountant with a large firm, or whatever, that's your mind talking to you. Ask your heart what your heart wants. And it does not matter if your heart goes, oh, you know, I just want to make shoes. Well, then fucking make shoes. I just want to wander and see the world. Well, wander and see the world. You go, well, your fear goes, well, how will I live? How will I? Trust me, you have half a brain and two hands. You'll figure it out, people. Stop being afraid of life.
Well, this is where I think the financial, like, fear of not being able to afford it comes in, right? And I guess one question for you is, you're someone who's earned hundreds of millions of dollars before and lost hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
What is the...
What,
how do you view money?
Well, money, people think, oh, money's going to make you happy. It will not, I promise you. The more money you have, the more fear you're going to have, because you have more fear of losing more. So the issue with money is you think you must have it in order to do something. And that's utter bullshit, people. Utter bullshit. Follow your heart. Your heart doesn't care about money, neither does it need money. And if your heart says, walk the world, then walk the world. If your heart says, go down to Miami and be a beach bum, then be a beach bum. If your heart says, become a professional surfer, buy a fucking surfboard. What else does it take, people?
Well, what if your heart says you want to go into space and you want a ticket on, like, Elon Musk's SpaceX program?
I don't think any heart wants to do that. I think your mind wants to do that. I think your mind says, oh, that would be wonderful. But why don't you sit quietly with your heart and see what it wants? Your heart wants to love. It wants joy. It wants to express. Most hearts would go, I don't know. I mean, it sounds kind of cramped up there, and only four or five people, and how long going to be up there? And I think your heart wouldn't want that. I think your mind wants those things. Here's the problem, people. You don't know whether you're listening to your thoughts, your intellect, your rational self, or whether you're listening to your heart. You understand? There's a huge difference. I don't think any heart wants to go to space. Most hearts want to love and to feel, touch, experience, whether it hurts or not, the life around you. You don't need to go into space, people. Space surrounds you, an infinite space in all directions.
Yeah.
That's it. Try picking a direction and walking. You'll see. In America alone, I mean, I've spent 17 weeks traveling off-road completely in America. Mountains, deserts, rivers, green forests, two fucking oceans, totally different, the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Grand Canyon, standing on the lip of that. You will know the difference between your heart and your mind. Because your heart senses your insignificance and the grand infiniteness of what lies before you. Head it into your head, people. That's your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I guess I haven't particularly spent too much time in that meditative state to understand.
It's not a meditative state. It doesn't have to be. It's just a state of stop your thinking for a while. And just follow your heart. And don't be afraid, because your heart might go, you know what? I don't even like school. This hasn't been enjoyable for me. Well, then walk the fuck away. Do you think a degree is going to change your life? It won't. It will not. What changes your life is courage. Pure and simple, people.
So your advice for college students is just to follow your heart despite the consequences.
Yeah, because you're not going to know what the consequences are. Here's the thing. The mind anticipates consequences. The heart doesn't. When you fall in love, if you've ever done that, or if you're 20-something, of course you have, or you thought you did, some of you. Did you think of consequences at the moment that you felt that surge of beauty and awe inside you? Fuck no. You just followed it. It's the mind that looks at consequences. Well, fuck me. You don't have a crystal ball inside your head, people. You may think you do, but you don't. And the best laid plans, as Shakespeare said, of mice and men oft go astray, people. Not just oft, all the time. You cannot predict your future. And you will learn that very quickly by predicting it and going, God damn, I never thought that would happen.
Yeah. So I think going back to this like anxiety or fear that people have about the about the future is largely tied into, I guess, government and things along the lines of that. You ran for the Libertarian Party nomination twice, not successful, but you are someone who I guess that means is relatively interested in politics. How big do you think...
I'm not. What I'm interested in is showing the utter absurdity of politics. You are all smart enough to understand the following. The people that you elect are elected officials, presidents, Congress, whatever. The true power in the government is not those people. It's the people who are career people. Do you know what the CIA calls presidents? Transients. Transients, because that's what they are. They're there for 4 or 8 years. They're gone. They are insignificant. They know nothing, and they have no power. If you think they do, how much of the wall did Donald Trump build? And even if a president does get to do something like Obama and got Obamacare, we all knew, why are you bothering? Because it was destroyed by the next administration. Nothing changes, people. If any of you are old enough to have seen at least 2 or 3 elections, you will know one thing. Not a single hair on your head was wafted by that change in power.
Yeah.
Prisons have no power, people. Why do you care who the president is? Neither does Congress. The deep state, which is the career 99% of our government, rules everything.
Yeah.
You can't fire them. Presidents can't fire those people. You think, oh, he's going to come in and clean house. No, can't be done. I wish it could, but it can't. It is an immovable object, no matter how big the force is. It is not moving, people.
Yeah. And how...
So this is the problem. Why do you spend time concerning yourself with politics? Do you understand that we have a two-party system here that has divided the country? We didn't have any parties when America started. It was America. You voted for president. No parties. There weren't a divide. There wasn't this side and that side. And the parties create a division in your perception. Gun control, no gun control. Immigration, no immigration. On and on and on, all the way down the line. Do you understand those are false divisions? They were created in your mind by the neurolinguistic programming of the two-party system.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that has to go. The next thing that has to go is we just stop paying the taxes that pay. Do you understand that 25% of the country is the government? Do you know what it was to begin with? One tenth of 1%, which is what it should naturally be.
Yeah.
The government was created to serve us. When's the last time the government served any of you students? You serve the government. When you get out with your degrees and get your job, the government's going to take 25% of your money.
Yeah.
That's illegal. That's not part of the Constitution. Prior to 1913, we had no taxes, and we were a vibrant nation. We were the industrial power of the world. We don't have any industry anymore. Taxes have destroyed it.
Yeah.
Have taken all the energy that we used to apply to creating to pay for a government that no longer serves us.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be our servant. Is it? It's your master. Listen, do servants tell you, boss, go home, lock yourself in the door? No. Servants don't do that. What we do is tell the government, okay, you guys shut down for a while because we're busy. Do you understand what has happened? There has been a complete reversal of intent.
Yeah.
What breaks my heart is you guys in school are allegedly very smart kids, and you can't figure this shit out on your own.
Yeah.
It drives me mad.
I think the anxiety for most of us is just, you know, like, we're all going to graduate with probably some level of debt that we have to repay to either our parents or to the government. And then, you know, in order to be a functioning member of society the way that we see it, you need to have a job that pays a certain salary. And I guess you kind of alluded to how dreary that is.
But see, don't you understand? You have just sold yourself into slavery.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm going to get a degree. I'm going to become a slave in order to do it. And I will be a slave for therefore ever after. You're slaved to the economic system structured by the U.S. government. Let me tell you some stories. Maybe they don't teach history anymore. Are you kids familiar with a thing called scrip, S-C-R-I-P? In the late 1800s and the turn of the century, all over the world, large corporations didn't pay in cash. We didn't have such a system in the 1800s. There were different monetary systems everywhere. Throughout the West, a bank would issue its own currency, whatever. Scrip. So scrip, you worked for, let's say, a coal mine. Coal mines are usually in remote places, or a lumber yard, but remote places, or whatever. And you were paid in scrip, which could only be exchanged at the company store. And you lived in company housing. Think of what this did. You understand that it cost corporations nothing. I'm going to pay you, back then, $5,000 a year was a lot. Pay you $5,000 in scrip, but you got to pay, you got to use it at our company store. And we get to decide what the fucking prices are. You guys, do you understand the US dollar is just scrip? It's the same thing, only from a bigger entity called the government.
Yeah.
You got to free yourself from that before you're going to be free, people.
Yeah.
And you have the tools. You've got cryptocurrency. Good God almighty, there are people like myself. Janice and I don't have bank accounts. We don't have a credit card.
Yeah.
We don't need money because we use cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Everything we buy, everything we sell, everything I'm paid, all of the people who work for me are paid in crypto. We don't pay attention anymore to what governments demand that we do.
Yeah. And before we get onto crypto, the one thing I want to ask you a little bit about is you have done a lot of stuff against data surveillance from big tech companies like Facebook and Google. And the one thing I'd want to ask you about is, don't we benefit from using their products? Like, I'm benefiting from posting this video on YouTube and reaching.
You bet. No question. I mean, that's your choice.
Monetize.
That's your choice. That's your choice.
Shouldn't they be able to monetize with our data?
Well, that's their choice. I mean, they got to pay for themselves somehow.
Yeah.
They pay by invading your lives. That's fine. Janice and I don't own phones. Neither should you people, if you have any kind of common sense. Your telephone is the spy device. I'm not worried about Google trying to sell me something or Facebook. I can choose not to buy it. What I'm worried about is the bad actors in the world, like governments, that use that to track, control, and know everything about the citizens. This is the one thing. This is the philosopher's stone, the goose that laid the golden egg for dictatorships. Throughout time, all dictators have been desperate to know everything about the people, because if you do, you're God. And now America is God, because they know everything about you. But not Janice and I. We don't have phones, haven't had phones for years. We can't have phones, because if we had phones, we'd be collected.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I guess my question for you is, have you seen The Matrix? Do you know the scene where, I think it's Cypher, he says, you know, I eat the steak, I taste the steak. For me, I know it's fake, but it tastes good. Why should I even bother leaving The Matrix? What are your thoughts on that?
That's your choice, son. That's your choice, exactly. I prefer reality, even if it tastes bad.
Yeah. Well,
because here's the problem. When you see the steak and you taste the steak, not your steak. It's created by someone else who now owns you. You lose yourself as an identity. I'd rather be John McAfee free and taste bad stuff than to taste someone else's steak and be controlled entirely by the universe that they create around me And if you don't mind living in someone else's universe, then please do that. Please.
Yeah.
But you're no longer human.
Yeah.
You are no longer an identity. And you no longer have the right even to have a name.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm still contemplating most of these things as I, you know, approach the next chapter. But you mentioned cryptocurrencies. Can you kind of explain for people who are, you know, college students and stuff who aren't maybe technical, who don't really know what cryptocurrencies are yet and what the revolution that is going on? Well, they know what they are, but they don't maybe couldn't explain it to you super well. Can you explain the revolution going on from money in a bank to a cryptocurrency?
First of all, that's very frightening to think that college students don't understand crypto very well, because this is the future, people. Okay, cryptocurrency, what is it? It is a new way, because how did we start out? We started out with barter, right? We started out with theft, okay? Most people stole from an adjoining tribe, killing people in the process and taking what they wanted. And then we got more civilized and started trading. I'll trade you two chickens for, I don't know, a pig, or I don't know how much things were. And then big markets developed and people started saying, here, I'll tell you what, I'm going to buy all of these chickens from you. I'm going to give you 200 shekels. And those 200 shekels will buy you four pigs, which is exactly what you wanted to trade them for. But well, goddamn, that's cool, because I could trade these shekels for anything then, right? I don't have to go to Fred to get my pigs. I can go to anybody with the shekels, and I don't need to carry my chickens with me. And so that was the beginning of currency. Now, currency reached its pinnacle here in the U.S., where you're living on scrip, people. The U.S. government issues your money, you work, and you can only exchange that scrip as they tell you you can. Try sending scrip. Try sending dollars to North Korea or Iran. You can't do it. They say, no, you can't do it. And they can arbitrarily say, you can't send it here. Or you got to give us 25% of it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Now, cryptocurrency is first and foremost permissionless. There's no permissions. You don't need anybody's permission to do anything. I can send whatever I want anywhere instantly. Instantly, and no one else is even involved or has to be, especially if you use privacy coins, because no one can know what you're doing. And far more important, it is trustless. You don't need trust anymore. With all existing fiat currencies, you must trust somebody, the US government, banks, the Fed, transfer agent. Western Union, somebody. do you understand? And that entity that you trust controls you. For example, the government, you got to trust it, because they're saying it's US dollar, trusts us, it's good. If they want, they can issue $2 trillion more dollars, which instantly makes the money you've earned and worked your life for worth 15% less. Do you see how it works?
Yeah.
They own you. They own you. They control you. You must trust them. And when they choose to betray your trust by issuing more dollars, you can do nothing about it. In cryptocurrency, no one can issue anymore. it is what it is.
Yeah.
And when it's set out, the math formula says there's going to be 21 million of these, or 100 million, or 1 million, or whatever. And that's it. The mathematics of this system prevents it from being more ever. And also, the mathematics of this system guarantees everything is honest.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that if you buy drugs, that the drugs you get are going to be good drugs. I'm sorry. But it does mean that between you and that person, no one's controlling it. And that when you send that money to him or her, they will get it.
Yeah. Go
ahead.
Well, what's the need for decentralized exchanges and privacy coins, going from just a crypto?
Well, you have to have decentralized. Here's the problem with centralized exchanges. Centralized exchanges are becoming just like banks or the Fed. They're under the thumb of governments. I mean, China, for example, 2.5 years ago, shut down every exchange in China overnight. Why or how? Well, because they knew where they were. They had addresses. They had servers and employees. Decentralized exchanges have no employees. They have no servers. They don't exist anywhere. They're just a fluid mathematical system floating around the globe, which can't ever be shut down. Also, decentralized exchanges ask no information. If you want to get onto a centralized exchange, you have to give your name, your address, sometimes send them a photo a copy of your driver's license or passport, bank information. Decentralized exchanges like our own Ghost Exchange, nothing. We don't ask for anything because we can't. We don't own it. We don't control it. Nobody controls it. You just go on and do your business anonymously. No record of any person. No documents need to be given. No email address. No net. Nothing. You're anonymous, completely anonymous and private. And the privacy coins, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and such are great coins, but there's no privacy. I mean, if you send me $4 in Bitcoins, or I send you four, forever after, I can look in your wallet and see exactly how much you're worth, where every penny comes from, and where every penny goes, and when, and to whom. Now, most people don't like that. I don't. Privacy coins, you can't do that. Like Monero or Ghost Coin. The difference between Monero and Ghost is Monero is an older privacy coin, and its architecture will not allow it to be exchanged on a distributed exchange. So we built Ghost, just like Monero, very private, but you can use it on a distributed exchange. Therefore, number one, no one ever, not governments, nobody will ever know what you're doing financially. And when you exchange it, no one will know who is exchanging. Do you understand?
Yeah.
There's a beautiful symmetry in this system of trustlessness, privacy, and permissionless transactions.
So here's a question. How do you, is this one specifically only for people who are tech savvy? Could artists and painters and people like that be able to step into this realm? Or is this something that, at least for the next 10 years, is going to be kind of early adopters to the internet, like circa 2000s or 1990s?
It's going to take you a day or two to figure it all out. Yes, I'm sorry, but then I don't know why they're not teaching this in school. I mean, didn't you learn in high school how to open a bank account and what a statement looked like? Didn't that take you a day or two to learn?
They don't
This
teach
is your
finance.
statement, this is your, well, someone taught it. I mean, everybody knows it by the time you're in college, right?
Yeah.
If you get a bank statement and you have your balance at the bottom and your credits at the top and all of the transactions,
Yeah.
someone had to tell you how to do that, your parents, somebody. Why aren't they doing that for crypto? Because that bank statement is going to disappear. There won't be any banks in 10 years. This is going to be crypto.
Think it's
So
a
someone surely has got to be teaching this stuff. If not, well, you give me the goddamn name and phone number of the president of the college, and I will ream him a new asshole.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think any particular school focuses on teaching crypto literacy yet. I don't think
Well,
even.
no, it doesn't have to focus on it, but good God Almighty, if it's the up and coming technology that without it, you're not going to be able to survive in 10 years, because really in 10 years, there's not going to be a dollar anymore. We all know that.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a yen. There won't be banks. Good God. I mean, everybody knows that, and the schools are not teaching it. Well, then there's something wrong with your school administrators. That's all I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, so I guess the question is, how do people who are watching this right now get involved?
Well, there's a thing called Google. I'm sorry, but people ask me, what degree should I get? Where I'm going, why are you going to college? I'm sorry to be saying this to a bunch of college kids, but I'm going to ask you, why are you? Because let's, you're smart people. You're sitting in a class and you have a professor with a finite mind who studied and is brilliant and knows a lot. But he is not the universal repository of knowledge in the subject that he's teaching. But sources like Google and so on are. I mean, the internet will give you access to everything. And when you're in class and the professor's explaining this, you go, oh, whoa, excellent. Would you branch to here, please? I'd like to know more about that. No, it's not possible. It's a human finite mind trying to teach other finite minds. Good God Almighty, in one day, if you apply yourself, you could learn more than an entire fucking semester in physics or mathematics or anything. It breaks my heart to see the sadness of our educational system when at your fingertips is ultimate knowledge. Now, you have to have a brain and go, well, this is garbage, or that's fake. But see, isn't that the beauty of it? If you question it, you can go, well, let me research this then. That reference so-and-so. Let me go and read that paper. You can't do that in a fucking college class, people. Good God Almighty. You're wasting your young lives and paying money to do so. Now, having said that, let's get back to reality. You all are in class, and definitely lobby your administrators to teach cryptocurrency. At the least, they're going to waste your time and money. At least teach you something of value.
Okay, well, I guess the final question would be, are you a happy guy?
I'm as happy as anyone can ever be. And every day I get happier.
What is
you know,
the...
I think happiness comes from accepting what you got, wherever you are. I mean, Janice and I just got out of jail in the Dominican Republic less than a year ago. And she was kind of mad because she heard me laughing all night long. I mean, why? That's where I am. I'm in jail in the Dominican Republic. And by the way, I don't recommend Dominican Republic jails are at the very bottom of my list. But still, no, you know, good God, be happy with whatever you have, wherever you are. Just follow your heart. Now, if your heart leads you into jail, be happy there because things will work out, I promise you. Anyway, thank you very much for having me on. I've enjoyed this.
Thank you, Mr. McAfee. Have a good one.
Okay.